You're listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network, and this is the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody. And returning with me today is my fellow presenter from Eurofolk Radio, David James. And we are going to be doing a show on Leonard Cohen's song The Future from 1992. And I'm going to bring David up right now. David, are you with me?
I certainly am. And even when I'm not with you, I'm with you.
Well, thank you very much for that, David, and likewise. And before we start the show, you are a songwriter yourself, a very accomplished songwriter, I would add, because you've done all sorts of musical styles. I have all your albums. I've listened to all your albums. You play all the instruments on your albums. And most importantly, you write the original songs for your albums, including, of course, the lyrics, and we're going to be discussing lyrics from a song today, which is why it's excellent to have you as the guest on to analyse this show. So before we start, can you please talk the listeners through your website, your music, the shows that you do, basically where people can go to listen to David James?
Okay, thank you, Andrew. My main site is davidjamesboston.com. There you can view my blog, which I only put things on my blog that I feel are very interesting. And I've got people from all over the world viewing this. Like, for instance, I have an article called Egypt, White Proof, Black Spoof. And you will even see people from the Middle East, from Russia, from, what do you call it? Egypt, the Egypt governorate, reading this article, coming to my site to read the article. Even though Google has blocked me now because they don't like what I talk about, they're treating my site as spam. And they've blocked, you know, they've flagged my IPs and all this kind of stuff like that. Google will find its demise just in the same way as these, unless it turns around and opens and lets everything free, they will find that they will be in the same condition as Facebook and the other one. Those are going to die if they keep on censoring. The more you censor, the more the backlash. All you'll have is one perspective from something like Facebook, because I've closed my Facebook account. I have Twitter open, but if they keep it up, they'll only have a bunch of lefty idiots and Jews left on the channel. Useful idiots. But as far as you can also go to my PayPal store and you can buy several of my albums. You can go and look at the discography. You can read the lyrics to all of the albums. And things like that. It's a very interesting site, if I do say so myself. I have a YouTube channel, which has just gone over 2,000 subscribers, and it's got about 725,000 views. So it won't be long till it hits the million, because it's going very rapidly. So as you will see on my site, my primary show is Saxon's Creed Radio Show, which touches on biblical things, but it can touch on Freemasonry. I have all sorts of playlists that you can educate yourself with on the YouTube channel, which is called the Super Electric Channel. And you can always go to EFR as well, eurofolkradio.com, and view the shows section like you can with Andy's. And you can see what's going on there. If anybody wants any graphic artwork done, I've helped Andy with his site. I can do site work. I can do banners. I can do all kinds of things like that. Just contact me. So I've put out about 15 albums so far, and I've got another 4 or 5 in the can. And I'm just, you know, hopefully within about 4 or 5 months, I should be able to put out album number 16. If I ever have the ability to do my music. I'm so busy doing everything. So that's all I'd say, Andy. Thank you very much.
Well, I look forward to album number 16. I didn't know that you were working on it. Obviously, Kryptonaut, your last album, was my favourite. The style that you put into there and the previous one to that, although I like all the work, I enjoyed that more than the blues stuff because I'm not really a big blues fan, but all the music I enjoy, and so I'll be looking forward to hearing that. And the actual website, folks, my website, is something that David pretty much built. I had an idea of where things I wanted to go, but I needed to get on a different sort of site from where I was because it wasn't responsive to mobile devices, so you couldn't see it properly, etc. And on top of that, the banners for my show, in fact, all the banners for my shows, the Absent Friends banner, the show for this year with the Judge picture, the last year's shows with the Union Jack in the background, David completely designed them himself. So I strongly suggest that you email David. Can you give your email address, please, David?
DavidJamesBoston@gmail.com. I should mention one more thing about my site. I've done a lot of artwork on my site. You can go there. I'm not an artist that draws or anything. I do graphic design, and I play around with Photoshop and all kinds of things. So you can go see my photo work. I've done a thing on the Pink Floyd's album Animals. I did a nice thing on that really developed, and articles on the same subject, pigs, sheep, and dogs. You might want to check out all that stuff. It's very interesting. And it'll give you a different perspective on Animals from Pink Floyd.
Yes, and that's a fantastic record, as are most of their albums, I find. And just a note for the listeners, I mean, the recent banner for my show, the banner I'm using for 2017, the Judge photo in the middle was something, as soon as I saw it, I said to David and I emailed him, look, let's try it without the Judge picture, because it was just so in your face. It was like, oh... But then I thought about it, and it really did work. And so when David said he's not like an artist that he draws, a graphic designer uses their own ideas in their head to decide what they think they should best convey in the image, which is what he did. And it's something I could have never thought of here. So you will have that creative
input. Yeah, you said
input.
You almost fell off the chair.
Yeah. It's quite startling, but I think it's quite effective. And I still can't fully, you could look at it and read so many different perspectives into the different imagery on the banner. But the whole idea is to obviously draw attention to the show, hopefully get people listening and make something interesting. It doesn't change the content. I'm not suddenly going to judge everyone on this show. Instead of how I've always done it, and just elicited their opinions. But it's important. I don't like the whole idea of marketing, etc. But the fact is that I remember a conversation I had with someone about a book that they were doing for somebody else, and the writer said, well, most of the work is going to be done by you, because the promotion, the distribution, etc., that is where most of the effort has to go with a book. And so I often thought, well, when I was with certain publishers and getting 5%, I thought, well, I wrote the thing, there wouldn't be a book if it wasn't for that. But you can't just put something out there and people will automatically warm to it. It needs to be put in front of them, and there's various different skills people need to have and processes to do that. Unfortunately, the truth alone is not going to cut it these days, which is quite sad, but it's the world we live in, and hopefully a world that we're helping to change. But we'll get on to the lyrics now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the lyrics start to finish, and then I'm going to hand over to David to come in with whatever he would like. I'd rather do that than read bit by bit, because we can go through bit by bit. David can pull out what he wants. But I will warn the listeners that there's, I wouldn't say profanity in here, but there's some sexual, graphic sexual imagery, violent imagery and what have you. So it'll probably take me 2 or 3 minutes to read these lyrics. So if you don't want to hear that, it's probably the wrong show for you. But I'm going to start now. This is The Future from Leonard Cohen's 1992 album of the same title. And here we go. Give me back my broken night, my mirrored room, my secret life. It's lonely here, there's no one left to torture. Give me absolute control over every living soul, and lie beside me, baby, that's an order. Give me crack and anal sex, take the only tree that's left, and stuff it up the hole in your culture. Give me back the Berlin Wall, give me Stalin and St. Paul, I've seen the future, brother, it is murder. Things are going to slide in all directions, won't be nothing you can measure any more. The blizzard of the world has crossed the threshold, and it has overturned the order of the soul. When they said, repent, repent, I wonder what they meant. When they said, repent, repent, I wonder what they meant. When they said, repent, repent, I wonder what they meant. You don't know me from the wind. You never will, you never did. I'm the little Jew who wrote the Bible. I've seen the nations rise and fall. I've heard their stories, heard them all. But love's the only engine of survival. Your servant here, he has been told, to say it clear, to say it cold. It's over, it ain't going any further. And now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It is murder. Things are going to slide. They'll be the breaking of the ancient Western code. Your private life will suddenly explode. There'll be phantoms, there'll be fires on the road, and the white man dancing. You'll see a woman hanging upside down, her features covered by her fallen gown, and all the lousy little poets coming round, trying to sound like Charlie Manson, and the white man dancing. Give me back the Berlin Wall, give me Stalin and St. Paul, give me Christ, or give me Hiroshima. Destroy another fetus now. We don't like children anyhow. I've seen the future, baby. It is murder. Things are going to slide. When they said, repent, repent. So, there's a lot in there, David. I don't really know where to start, so I'll give you that opportunity.
The first place I'd start is you have to put this in the perspective of who is speaking this. And this is a Jew speaking in the perspective of his father, the devil. I'll show you how that is. You're probably saying, well, how is that? Well, let's start off a little further up. Let's start off at the beginning, as I always say. Where should I start, people say to me, and I say, why, at the beginning. Give me back my broken night, my mirrored room, my secret light, life. It's lonely here. There's no one left to torture. It sounds like a mind-controlled type of situation. His secret life. These Jews have a secret life. They live a life of duality. The same as the Jewish Pope is doing the rite of the ninth circle, which is his secret life. But in his other life, he's the Pope. The mirrored room, you know, Michael Jackson looked in the mirror and he could see demons that he talked to. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Okay. You know, so this devil would like to torture everyone until there is no one left to torture. And at that point, the Jew, the way the Jew thinks is the Jew is a parasite that will kill the host. Most parasites know better than to kill the host. They subsist off the host perpetually. They weaken the host, but they let the host live so that they can still subsist off the host. Whereas the Jew will take it down to the last. See, what would the progression that this world would happen in if it was up to the Jew and the devil is they would kill all the white men off, which they're working on right now, until they have a brown man world. But don't ever think that it would stop at the brown man world. They want the brown man world because those people are controllable. And if you got the white people out, the true Israelite people out, there'd be no more Holy Spirit in the world to hold back the progression of evil. So what would happen is they'd begin to start to torture these brown people and decide that they wanted to kill them all off. There was a Star Trek episode that I often mention about this with Frank Gorshin. And they had it was a racial thing where they had half the face was black and half was white. And there were two races left. And one of them had the black on the left of the face and the other race had the black on the right of the face. And it's a very interesting thing. And what happened is what I'm telling you will happen at the end of the show. What happened is after the Jew kills off all the brown people, then the Jew will begin to have nobody left to torture but themselves. And they don't even like each other. They work together, but there is a hate. I will show you that right in this lyrics that I'll prove to you there's a hate for their own people as well. So what they would do is they would progress and they would begin to kill each other until there was no one left to torture. Until there was one man left, not man, they're not men, they're beasts of the field, but until there was one of them left. And that would be the end of it. And that's exactly how the Star Trek episode ended. They actually killed each other off. There was nobody left, but it's, you know, that's what I'm trying to say. So give me absolute control over every living soul. Is this not? And lie beside me, baby. That's an order. See, this is exactly what the devil wants. They want control over every living soul. Can you see that, Andy? Maybe you'd like to comment on this, on what I'm talking about.
No, I agree absolutely. And when we were talking before the show, I mean, I was familiar with this song. I mean, when I was younger, I think I've said to the listeners before, you know, I believed all this rebellion stuff. And, you know, I bought this Leonard Cohen album when it came out. The very day it came out in 1992, in my second year at college, you know, he was like, oh, he's some great wise poet and blah, 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 blah. And I wouldn't have understood any of that stuff then. But it's what the real problem that society has now is that young people, the youth, have a tendency to rebel. And I don't think it's necessarily due to the Jews encouraging that rebellion. I think that there's always this tendency of the young to want to, you know, work out things for themselves, not follow the complete diktats of their parents, and they may still see their parents as old-fashioned even without the influence of the Jew. But the problem that we have today is that all the degeneracy has become mainstream. And so the only way that the youth of today can rebel against it is by becoming moral. And the comments I would add is, I actually looked up an article because I thought, has anyone else written anything on this? You know, is it just me thinking this up that it'd be a good show? And I found an article, and just literally half an hour before we were recording, so I've only been through it once, and I cut a couple of bits out, and they're in order of the lyrics. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read up to where you covered to give this author's perspective, and I'm going to put a link in the post to this article. It's called "And the White Man Dancing, a Hermeneutic Reading of Leonard Cohen's The Future." It's quite a long article. I've only taken a few little bits out. I'm going to read you two now. It's by Alex Fontana, and he says, "Jewish identity needs division in order to make sense of the world as much as any other group, but possibly..."
Yes.
This really mirrors what you were saying, and David hasn't seen this article, folks, so... "But possibly it is solely the Jew who requires division in order to have someone to torture." Again, like you just said. "For the Jew, without torture, life is lonely. The Jew needs his ghetto and his West Bank, his Palestinians and Europeans, pharaohs and monarchs, his stock markets and pyramid schemes. He needs his superiority reflected back on him by pandering politicians beating their heads on the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. Thus, the next line, give me absolute control over every living soul. This corresponds to a rabbinical Jewish mandate of the chosen or elect who should rule over other nations by the providence of the covenant with God. Without wallowing too deeply into the following line, and lie beside me, baby, that's an order, which denotes sadistic Jewish sexual control over the female, most likely a Gentile. This has historical reverberations since the Jews historically have been associated with the sex industry in European prostitution rings, and the Jews are the primary peddlers of the contemporary multi-billion dollar pornography industry. There is also the current sex slave trade into Israel from European countries, mainly from the former Soviet bloc controlled by the Jewish mafia. So that's up to that bit. And is there anything that you want to add, or do you want to carry on?
Well, I'd say that that was eloquently said and well said. I said, it's not how many words you use to say something, but I said it in a different kind of a way than he did. Of course, I think his way sounds better. But let's continue. Before I go on, you speaking about revolution, there's a song by Jethro Tull called Living in the Past. I just want to read you like a few lines from it.
Yeah, go ahead.
You talked about the youth rebelling. Happy and I'm smiling, walking miles to drink your water. You know I'd love to love you, and above you there's no other. We'll go walking out while others shout of war's disaster. Oh, we won't give in. Let's go living in the past. See, this relates to what he's doing. He's talking about the future, but he's always reflecting on the past, this Jew. I'll show you that. Okay, so here's the important part. Once I used to join in, every boy and girl was my friend. Now there's revolution, but they don't know what they're fighting. That's all I have to say. Think about that. The people are rebelling, but they don't know what they're really fighting. They don't know what the rebelling is about. They're just doing it blindly. So let's go back to the lyrics. And of course, he has to, the Jews, reprobate mind has to talk about the drugs and the anal sex and everything. But the key line here is, the only tree that's left, take the only tree that's left and stuff it up the hole in your culture. In other words, stick it up your A, your anal, your hole, right? Stick it up your crack. That's what he's saying. And the tree is our lineage, our history, our culture. You understand? Give me crack and anal sex. Take the only tree. You know, in the Bible, everybody's lineage has to do with a tree. The root of Jesse is Yeshua, the tree of Israel. Right? So take that only tree that's left and stuff it up the hole in your culture. In other words, that's what the Jews do to our culture. They destroy it. They destroy it with anal sex. They destroy it with crack. They destroy it with everything that they do. So now here he is talking about, the song's talking about the future, and he says, give me back the Berlin Wall. Give me Stalin and St. Paul. I've seen the future, brother. It's murder. Well, not only is the future murder, but you see, what's odd about this whole thing, Andy, is yesterday on my Saxon's Creed show, I did a show called Hitler, A Perspective. And I talked about how, see, this word division, that's why I clapped. This is something that Yahweh is showing me, that the devil and his children have used division to destroy everything. Why is division important? You know, here's how I'll explain it to you. If I took a river that was mighty and I divided it into two, you'd weaken the river, wouldn't you?
Yep.
Understand what I mean? Yep. Anything that you divide will weaken. If you're fighting a war and you divide a division of soldiers, together they were united, together they were strong, you divide it and you weaken it. That's what this division is all about. When you divide the churches into all these denominations, you weaken it. When you divide a nation with democracy, when you tell the people, here's how democracy works. Either you're a Republican or you're a Democrat. Pick that party and vehemently fight against the other party. You've weakened the nation. I was showing this the way Hitler had one party. Hitler's Germany had one party, and they were united. He knew they were smart enough to understand what the Jew does with division. Democracy can only lead to tyranny because it instantly divides the citizen of the country. So give me back the Berlin Wall. See, after Germany had shown that great unity, the Jews recognized what it was, of course, and the power, the absolute power and glory of unity of our race. And they demonized it immediately. And the first thing they did after the war was kill as many of them as they could. They went against the Geneva Convention when the Germans stuck by the Geneva Convention and actually obeyed, you know, how you treat soldiers and such. So they went against it by using this fake Holocaust story. That was the justification, you know, an eye for an eye with these Jews, you know what I mean? But the Berlin was split into two. They divided that nation deliberately and made half of it communist and half of it was. See, so give me Stalin and St. Paul. Stalin was known also to kill millions of Christians. Right? You see what I mean? Give me back. The devil is reminiscing of how he divides and how he destroys with division. Give me back the Berlin Wall. In other words, that's been taken down now, right?
Yep.
So I've seen the future, brother. He's no brother of yours or brother of anybody. It's murder. And yes, the future is murder. But so was the past. That's what he loves about it. He's reminiscing of the things where he murdered. And so the future is the same as the past is for him, living in the past like Jethro Tull was talking about. So things are going to slide in all directions, won't be nothing you can measure anymore. Well, I can see right away when I think of measure, when you're going to measure something, that's justice. Justice is equal measures. And there is no justice because things have all slidden away. All the things that in our culture that were right have begun to slip sliding away. Right? Another Jew? Okay. Won't be nothing you can measure anymore. The blizzard of the world has crossed the threshold, and it has overturned the order of the soul. Well, the storm of the world that we speak about, we all know that we've crossed over the threshold. The threshold is the sine wave I was talking about with Eli, is when the disciples and Christ came, the sine wave was at the top of the wave. They turned the world upside down. Well, now the sine wave has crossed the threshold in the center and gone down below. And it has overturned everything, and now it's upside down again. The order of the soul is what the Jews seek to destroy. And when I did my Mystery of the Serpent series, you will see that they corrupt the soul, and they destroy the spirituality of people by subtle hints and subtle suggestions. And he gives it away here anyway. When they say repent, repent, I wonder what they meant. See, he doesn't know what to repent means. The Jew or the devil does not know what repent means, because the Jew or the devil have no reason to repent, will not repent, have not repented, and they don't even really have a chance to repent. When the devil was cast down, Yahweh did not say, I want to save that Lucifer. I want to save Halel. No, that was it. He crossed the threshold. He went down. And these Jews know where they stand. They don't know what the words of Yahweh mean. He told them in John, you hear my words, but you don't understand them. And it's simply because you're not of God. So, I better hustle through here. You don't know me from the wind. You never will, you never did. I'm the little Jew who wrote the Bible. I've seen the nations rise and fall. You see, this isn't this Jew speaking. You can see it's his father. Right?
Absolutely.
Only the little Jew who wrote the Bible is part of this devil's deception, because the Bible was not written by Jews. It was Israelite literature, which I'm not going to get into right now. So no, you won't know me from the wind. People don't even believe the devil exists. That's the biggest trickery that's there. You never will, you never did. I'm the little Jew who wrote the Bible. I've seen, you know, this is just like Rolling Stone's Sympathy for the Devil. I've seen the nations rise and fall. I've heard their stories. I've heard them all. But love's the only engine of survival. You're a servant here. I believe this is speaking to Yahweh. Your servant here has been told to say it clear and say it loud. I mean, say it cold. It's over. It ain't going any further. And now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It's murder. The fear factor again. You're to fear. But we do know what's coming, the great Armageddon. We do see that right now, that if the Jew can do what he had done in all the other kingdoms, there, how those nations had risen and fall and fell. We saw the falling of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. We saw the Tsar, the richest man in the world, his family killed, and then they killed up to 100 million white people, Christians. Destroyed all the churches. Same thing in Germany. So they've seen that these nations rise and fall, and they've heard the stories. The devil knows the stories. And so the story of the past was murder, and the story of the future is murder. You see, he's reminiscing. I often notice that when devils pretend they're Christians and get up before a Christian church, they often speak about their past very affectionately. Like William Schnebelin, who talks about how his wife and him were doing satanic rituals, and he smiles and he looks upon these memories very fondly, which gives him away to me. I know exactly. You don't think about your past and in a fond way if you've been an evil son of a gun. You repented of that. See, he doesn't understand it anymore. You don't think of those things affectionately. You're ashamed of those things. Well, this devil's not ashamed, so let's go on. So things are going to slide. Now, here's one that I know that nobody knows what this means, but I'm going to tell you what it means. There'll be the breaking of the ancient Western code. The ancient Western code could be construed as live and let live. The ancient Western code could be construed as the Ten Commandments. There'll be the breaking of the ancient Western code. Your private, now I could go into that more, and I could say that stands for many more things in the Western code. What is the Western code? Our culture. What is the Western code? Decency. Family, respectability, and I could go on for 20 minutes using word after word of what the Western code was before these Jews destroyed it and broke it in our culture. They stuffed the tree up the hole of our culture. In other words, stick it up your private life will suddenly explode. There'll be phantoms. There'll be fires on the road and the white man dancing. The white man dancing means that he's dancing to the tune of the devil. And he is today in the West, where he wasn't yesterday as much as he is today. He's dancing. He's helping destroy his own culture. He's destroying everything, and he's going to be part of this murder that will take place in the future. Get ready for the future. It's murder. The white man is dancing to the fiddle of the devil. You know, the fiddler on the roof is the devil. You saw the darkness of the fiddler on the roof, and he would play on the roof in that movie. Well, the white man is now dancing to the tune of the devil. You've seen many pictures of the leaders of our countries with the devil's hand holding the puppetry. The white man is dancing. Remember, you know, when George Bush was dancing in the what was that called?
The Dallas police officer's funeral.
No. It's a animation, the I Pet Goat 2.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw the devil's puppetry holding the strings, and he brought George Bush and woke him up, which George Bush is a Jew, one of his own anyway. So, you know, basically he is a Jew. And so you saw him dancing. Remember that, I Pet Goat? Yeah. Visit that from time to time. You'll have more insight on it all the time. Anyway, now this is from a perspective of somebody in an art factory, an art gallery. You'll see a woman hanging upside down, her features covered by her fallen gown, and all the lousy little poets coming around trying to sound like Charlie Manson, and the white man dancing. See, Charlie Manson was full of devils. If this wasn't a fake news story, I'm not sure it was a real news story, to be honest with you. But what he portrayed was demons taking over a man. He heard voices, and he obeyed those voices. He was dancing to those voices, like the white man dances to the fiddler on the roof's tune. So the woman is upside down. This woman we have today that Yahweh created, she's not the right side up woman. She's not the right woman. She's not the holy woman. She's not the woman of decency that Yahweh created. She's upside down. And her features are covered by her fallen gown. And, you know, that's what he's picturing. So now he goes back to the past again. Give me back the Berlin Wall. Give me Stalin, you know, because Stalin killed millions. Stalin was the Mao Zedong's greatest friend at the point and teacher to teach him to kill millions with communism, which he did. Give me Stalin and St. Paul. St. Paul could represent the Catholic Church and which has nothing to do with Paul himself, but it could represent the Catholic Church and the Inquisition, which the Jews were involved in and were a great part of, the Jesuit order. They're the ones that did this devil hunt with the Babylonian church that they love to hide in. But he says here, give me Christ or give me Hiroshima. In other words, if you could give him Christ, he'd destroy him again. Or give me more of what happened in Hiroshima. Now, even though I don't know if Japanese can truly be Christian, Hiroshima was a Christian area, in case you're not aware of that. So when they bombed Hiroshima, it was deliberately bombed in that area because it was known as a Japanese Christian area. So give me Christ or give me Hiroshima. They would kill Christ today as they killed him yesterday for the same reasons of telling the truth, for the same reasons of he rebuked them, for the same reasons as they know who he is. When the Legion saw Christ, they said, it is not our time yet. They recognized him right away as the Father. And so, listen, here's the key to them. Destroy another fetus now. We don't like children anyhow. See, they don't even like their own children. Why do I say that? Not only are they murdering our children around the world and have been guilty of child ritual murder sacrifice, and they've been kicked out of the countries of Europe several times for it, they've now legalized it in America and across the world, and they call it abortion, and they call the child a fetus so that you won't understand that this is child ritual murder sacrifice legalized in the guise of the medical community. Now they can kill our children, which is what better job could you have as a Jew? Most of them are Jews. What better job could you have but to destroy your enemy or to destroy children? Because he said, we don't like children anyhow. You wouldn't do bad things to children if you loved children. But they don't even love their own children because the Talmud teaches them. That's why they end up homosexuals and perverts and crazy and everything else, is because the Talmud, which is not a holy book whatsoever, it is the most despicable, filthy, rotten book, a set of books, excuse me, that you'll ever come across. And as I said, Ursula Haverback from Germany, that wonderful woman, a real woman, not an upside down woman, a real woman, she said when she began to read it, it made her literally sick. So they touch their little children at age 3 years old, even their own children, these Jews, because the Talmud tells them it's okay. And you people out there think it's a holy book or a set of holy books and that it's equal to the Bible. It has nothing to do with the Bible. It is the very tradition of men that Jesus Christ rebuked them about. They have nothing to do with the kingdom of God, and they are not of God. Their God is their father, Lucifer, and that's who's the perspective of Lucifer is right in all these lyrics. So I've seen the future, baby. It's murder. Things are going to slide. And again, he doesn't understand what it means to repent. Because there will be no repenting for the Jew, and there will be no repenting for their father, Halel, or Lucifer, as you know the name. And so I wonder what you think about that, Andy.
Well, no, it's an excellent analysis that you've put together there, David, and I'm really pleased that you all the work that you've done on this to, you know, I can't fault anything that you've said. What I will do, again, the author of this article, I'll run through the remainder of what he had to say. There's not a great deal, but we'll let me see. Now, we got up to, I'll go right back to the verse, give me crack and anal sex, take the only tree that's left and stuff it up the hole in your culture. Give me back the Berlin Wall, give me Stalin and St. Paul. I've seen the future, brother, it is murder. Here Cohen identifies the modern ailments of lowbrow culture and primitive sexualization that have become the culture industry. The symbolism of the tree here is not to be confused with an environmental concern. The tree is the symbol of life of a people tied to its soil by its roots. By taking that tree and stuffing it up, Cohen is explaining a process of deracination, or removing it from its roots while the Jew demands crack and anal sex, singing the perversions of Weimar Germany. Here Cohen is calling forth destruction upon the host culture, filling it with drugs and lewd sexuality. And he gives an example, some the Red Stones, MTV, or the Weimar years in Germany. He goes on to say, the postmodern deracinated world of crack and anal sex has so overturned the order of the soul, meaning the traditional soul of Europe, or what Cohen later calls the ancient Western code, which I think you're probably more, you talk about the Ten Commandments, which I think is accurate there.
May I say one thing about the anal sex? Supposedly, I have read that when anal sex is performed on a woman, that it destroys her soul, that it opens up the third eye, that it kills her spirituality, that it kills her soul, so to speak. You know, the eye of the anus, I'm sure you've seen women's anuses, you'll know it looks like the eye on the top of the pyramid. It actually looks like a pyramid with an eye in it, if you think about it. You understand what I'm saying? But go ahead.
Yeah.
A little graphic there. Sorry, folks.
That's okay. And he goes on, while this new dystopian paradise positions itself here in the... He's got the video actually on his site, which I haven't watched. Here in the video, Cohen mimics a dance with a slight smirk on his face. You wouldn't know him from the wind. Both to signify that he is confused with and identified as a white man, and to show the part that Jews play in the cultural industry which pushes the crack and anal sex of contemporary entertainment, which keeps
very
the
good,
white...
Very good.
Which keeps the white man dancing instead of politically engaged against the destruction of the ancient Western code. I want to focus on the prophetic line, your private life will suddenly explode, in relation to the notion of the postmodern total surveillance society's panopticon. Technological innovation involving interoperability, the seamless synchronized interplay of data and software function between multiple hardware devices, as well as the socialized web, Google, Facebook, for example, who want to know all aspects of your personality and your online activity. But beyond the virtual world, the information and technological revolutions is resulting in ubiquitous computing data mining that is right in your homes. The private life can also be conceived of Western civilization as such, exploding with non-white immigration, multiculturalism, and postmodern social theories. Is there anything you'd like to add to that, David?
There's your division again. See, they've divided the citizenry of your countries by bringing in these people so that you could never unite like a World War II Germany. You're not going to unite with these other races. They're diametrically opposed to your culture. There will be no unity in our white countries until we expel these people and begin to move back together. That's all I'd have to say. Division, 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 division. That's the word, that's the key word that Yahweh has just told me yesterday in my message. This is what I learned from watching the movie Triumph of the Will. I've learned that there's a healthy division and that there's a division that is destruction and weakens everything. If you had a pat of butter in a pan and you were heating it up, if you want it to heat up quicker, divide it into segments. If it stays whole, it'll take longer to decimate. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yeah, and on that subject of division, I mean, you spoke earlier about having these so-called democracy parties, and but you've always then pitting people against each other. The fact is that what the Bible has given us is the 759 laws we are to abide by, and all we need is one party in power. I wouldn't even call it a party, basically a system of administrators to ensure that people live by that code that's already been provided to us. Not
well, that's how Moses did it. He didn't have a party. This political nonsense is really a creation of the Jew, and Hitler recognized democracy for what it was. He didn't teach me that that's instant division. I learned that myself because it just makes sense. When I tell it to people, there's no refuting it. When you're told to pick one side or the other, and we're supposed to be the United States, this is what I said on my show yesterday, Hitler, a perspective, you're immediately dividing the citizenry of that country. You're immediately weakening the citizen of that country. You're immediately pitting them one against another, so that there could never be any unity in the United States. Even the states themselves are a division of the country, where Hitler's Germany was one Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer, ein Deutschland. One people, one land, one leader. One Germany. See, when you're united, you're one. You're not divided into two or 50 or anything else. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's great. Thank you for that insight. And the last piece from this article, And they refer again to the video. So the video seems to be included in the article. I will certainly link to that. And if it's not in there, if that link's not working within the article, I'll find it somewhere and put it in the post for you. He writes, and again, Curran sings the white man dancing. Video cuts, and this is obviously from the video of the song. Video cuts are interspersed of white people swimming in purple filtered water, ending with a white male drowning in blood. The camera zooms into a close-up of Curran's face as he stares menacingly and unemotionally at the camera. You'll see your woman hanging upside down. Your woman, in reference to the white man dancing, the white man's woman will be hanging upside down as he says that line he walks past, a classical, almost Roman painting of a white woman in the background, the imagery of her hanging upside down like a satanic pentagram means that she will not...
Ah, yes.
There you go. Means that she
will not... Well, she's under the spell, Andy. You see, they've put us under a spell in our nations. They revel about this all the time in their books. In case you never heard of this, ladies and gentlemen, pardon me, ladies and gentlemen, there's a book called How the Jews Created Hollywood, an Empire of Their Own. May I suggest you read this book? Then things will become clearer. They have claimed in it and boasted in it that they've put us all under a spell. Yes, our women are upside down. They're not the woman Yahweh created. And many of the men are upside down now as well. But go ahead, Andy. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what we get out of the video, because neither you or I have seen it. This is why it's news to us now, this bit. The imagery of her hanging upside down like a satanic pentagram means that she will not be led not by her reason or her heart, but by her lower strata. Her features covered by her fallen gown. The fallen gown imagery denotes a kind of sexual transgression. Her now socially acceptable miscegenation will distort her phenotype. Her distinctive features and those of her womb will be covered or washed over. The blending of the races into one homogeneous people, here the images change to a well-dressed drowning white man, symbolizing the death of the race through inbreeding. And I'd just like to add one comment. And for me, the real line that comes out of this song that he repeats is, "and the white man dancing." And that is essentially what 99.99% of the white men and women are doing at the moment. They're ignoring all the immorality being forced onto them, all the immigration, the gay marriage, the transgenderism, the teaching of sexual relations to, you know, children of 5 years old, all this different immorality that's being thrown at them, and they are metaphorically dancing while this is going on. He may as well say, oh, and the white man just sits there watching the football, and the white woman just sits there watching the reality TV and dancing with the stars and things like that. That's, to me,
dancing to the tune. Dancing to the tune of the devil. The devil plays many tunes.
Yeah. And I think that that's what he's really getting at here. And I mean, we've got about 5 minutes left, but it's been a fascinating show. It's something that I've been thinking about for a while, and I haven't, you know, I don't listen to these Jews anymore. But it was a song that, the other thing, actually, just to throw in, and I don't know if you're familiar with the film, this may be something you saw, because I think this came out in 1993 or 4, and it was Oliver Stone's Natural Born Killers that, you know, drew widespread condemnation. And not only was this song featured in as the closing title of the film, when these two killers, literally, they've killed scores of people. They're like young serial killers played by Woody Harrelson and Juliette Lewis. And at the end, you see them driving off into the sunset after they've escaped from prison with a couple of young children that they've obviously had. So they've obviously set up a life after they escaped. And not only is this song featured there at the end, but about three or four of his songs from the future album are featured throughout the film, which is a, you know, not just graphically shocking, but morally shocking film of basically two young white people that become serial killer, like a serial killer couple, Mickey and Mallory, they're called in the film. And
notice how they're white too, that they're natural born killers. In other words, the demonizing of the white people always with the Jew.
Yeah, well, this is it, because essentially Juliet Lewis and they certainly Woody Harrelson comes across as white, but the whole ethos of the film, and again, you've got the Jewish director there, Oliver Stone, and it does show a dystopian society, and the fact that the film is essentially, I think they called it, it was all about the media. It was how the media control reality, and the media were jumping on this Mickey and Mallory bandwagon, and it shows all these all the youth being interviewed around the world, and I think Mickey and Mallory are really cool and stuff like this. And because it says that was it, the media made them superstars was the slogan of the film.
Yes, the media. What it's called is it's called contrived realities. Let me do this. Let me just give you a couple of lyrical excerpts from other songs. There's one. It's called Be Real, Baby, or Be Real from it. He says in there, I don't give a damn about the truth, baby, except for the naked truth, which means her body. You know what I mean? Next one. This is important why I read this. Another song called Closing Time. He's talking about a party that these people are at. Ah, we're lonely, we're romantic, and the cider's laced with acid, and the Holy Spirit's crying, where's the beef? You know what that means? That means that they're violating the Holy Spirit till the Holy Spirit is what he's trying to claim is it's the same as when Yeshua drove the demons out of the man with the legion into the pigs, that they were looking for another body to inhabit. The Holy Spirit was leaving these people in the party because they were offending the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's crying, where's the beef? In other words, where am I going to reside in now? You understand? Think about that, Andy. This sick Jew. And let me just go to the next one. Light as a Breeze, this song is called. There's blood on every bracelet. You can see it. You can taste it. And it's please, baby. Please, baby, please. And she says, drink deeply, pilgrim. But don't forget there's still a woman beneath this resplendent chemise. In other words, a dress. But what they're speaking right of, what he's speaking of here is the vampire condition of these Jews. And how this woman is even telling him to drink deeply. Let me read it one more time. There's blood on every bracelet. You can see it. You can taste it. Obviously, he knows what the taste of blood is. Please, baby, please. And she says, see, because the woman will give in and let the vampire drink her blood. She says, drink deeply, pilgrim, but don't forget there's still a woman beneath this resplendent chemise. This is how filthy these Jews are. But they give themselves away all the time. I don't know what you think about that, but that's all I had to tell you from other segments of that same album.
Well, thank you so much, David. We're out of time. It was an excellent show. I want to thank everyone for listening. I'll be back with you all soon. And bye.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on the Eurofolk Radio Network. Andrew's book, The Synagogue of Satan, is now available on his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.